Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Brian E. Roach and Noah Freeman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast, brought to you in part by the Legends of Pittsburgh cruise. Over 20 Pittsburgh legends plus 1,000 or more fans are going to sail the Caribbean for the fifth year on March 4th, 2019. And they are a partner of ours for this podcast. My name, in case you haven't figured it out yet, is Brian E. Roach, the host who doesn't like toast or coffee or any of the things that Joe likes. And as a result, he has deserted me again, left me out in the wilds. But thankfully, one of our other SCU contributors has come to my aid and my assistance for our midweek podcast, and that is Noah Freeman. Noah, welcome back to the podcast, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that kind introduction. I'll get past the not liking toast and hot beverages and everything just for the listeners, but not for your sake.
That's all right. It's okay. I march to the beat of my own drum, or actually to bongos, because drums are dumb. I actually don't think that. Drums are cool.
Talking to a musician.
Yeah, drums are cool. I like drums. So anyway, you know, we're in the midweek doldrums. The Twitterverse has gone insane, and everybody is looking for who to blame for our loss in Denver. It's all, of course, someone's fault. It's not just happenstance. Of course the Steelers should have won. And, you know, looking at the stats, they probably should have. But the word on the street is that this is all the fault of one Benjamin Roethlisberger. And he's now too old to play. It's now last year after the Jags game, and the Cowboy doesn't have anything left. Not per Ben, but I guess, the Yinzing Steeler Nation out there. And we thought it might be worthwhile to talk about that and see, is this really Ben's fault? Or is it just maybe a little of Ben's fault? Or is it all Ben's fault? Who knows? What say you, Noah?
Well, it doesn't help that obviously the very last play of the game, the play to seal the fate of the Steelers Broncos game, happened to come off of Ben's last second interception. So of course that's the last thing everyone remembers. But you can go back to multiple times during the game that changed things, right? From where the O-line didn't block to for Chris Boswell's field goal, to James Conner fumbling in the opponent territory, to Xavier Gribble fumbling on the goal line, to a bunch of other specific things. It's just sad that it happened to be Ben right at the last second. And it's also a lot of the quarterback being basically the captain of the entire team, being the guy that's supposed to be first in the locker room, last out of the locker room each day. And he's supposed to take all the blame. And so Roethlisberger does shoulder a lot of the blame, as he should, but I think people are just getting a little ahead of themselves when talking about Ben Roethlisberger not having it or being a little too old. Yes, he has a lot of interceptions, which he just recently today actually said he makes no apologies for the amount of interceptions he has. But we're going to get into some of the statistics he has coming into this season. But basically, he is having a career season in terms of stats-wise.
Yeah, and look, I think if you followed the path of that game, it went from being whoever didn't block's fault to Xavier Grimble's fault to James Conner's fault to, you know, Ben's fault for the first interception, even though that might be you might be able to blame that on the refs, to the refs' fault, because at some point everybody blames the refs, including me. And you know, as you said, you know, the nature of, I guess, people is that we remember the last thing that happened. And, you know, the last thing that happened, as you said, was Ben throws a pick in the end zone. Doesn't matter that the guy who actually picked it was blocked backwards by Marquise Pouncey. Probably wouldn't have been in position to pick that pass had it not been for that block. and that kind of a fluky thing, which Ben said it was a fluky interception. Now, I still think it gets picked by Roby, even if if that guy doesn't catch it, because Roby's in position. But, you know, there is also a chance it goes behind both Roby and AB, and neither one of them gets it. It's always hard to play that out. But, you know, one of the things is maybe if Ben's supporting team members, and a lot of them, you know, look, Juju certainly gave him support. AB was doing what he could do, you know, but I'm more bothered by the Xavier Grimble fumble than I think I am by anything else. And it's especially because instead of coming out and just saying it was a mistake, you know, he said, I adamantly tried to run him over. And I saw a quote by one of the Steelers beat writers that said, if that happened in New England, Xavier Grimble would be out of a job today. And I think that's probably true. You know, that fumble was so bad, because not only did it convert, you know, they lost. If he fumbles it at the one, the Steelers probably get points. Maybe it's three, maybe it's seven. But you fumble it out of the end zone on what is just dumb, because all he had to do was make one cut and he waltzes in. But, you know, he decides to be a tough guy, and maybe that's Vance McDonald's fault. So now maybe the blame is really Vance McDonald because he's the Vanimal, and or Vanos. I'm sorry, Eric Herman. That does not work, man. It just doesn't work. He's the Vanimal or the Mack truck. I like Joe's better than Vanos. And he's inspired these guys to want to run over everybody. But, you know, they're not all Vance McDonald. That's the one that actually sticks in my craw the most. Out of all the things that went wrong on Sunday's game, that one is the one that, to me, and then the Connor fumble also, but not maybe quite not as much because it wasn't necessarily going to result in 7 points, that could have been avoided easily and was just dumb.
Yeah, and going back to especially Ben's thing, he passed for 462 yards.
Yeah.
He was 38 yards from another 500-yard passing game. And if we would have kept driving for some of these possessions, and maybe the James Washington actually caught that ball and everything, we'd be sitting at Ben Roethlisberger passing for 500 yards. And even if we lost, I don't know if anyone would actually be saying that it was Big Ben's fault if he still passed for 500 yards, even though he threw an interception at the last play of the game. Well, you never know with some yinzers out there. He could have 500 yards, 5 TDs, and the last play could be an interception and be all his fault. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're absolutely right. Look, that game, what did he have? He had 462 yards, as you said. I'm trying to look it up real quick myself. A completion percentage of 73.21. You know, he had the two picks. One is, both are kind of weird. Like I said, I don't know if you had a chance to go back and look at that play, the first interception again. You know, Ben was pretty animate after that. AB's getting held. And if you go back and look at it, AB's clearly being held. And if he's not being held, he probably is where the ball ends up.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the refs were very generous with their holding calls, because apparently it was invisible as long as it was being done to AB during that game.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
You know, clearly it's not the best game, but I have a hard time even putting a vast majority of the problems for this game on Ben's shoulders, as you said. I also read, somebody commented on, I think it was a tweet that I tweeted out about, I don't know what Ben was doing with that last throw, because I do think, you know, it had more of a chance of being intercepted than it did of being completed, which I thought it had zero chance because Roby was covering AB so tightly. But there was at least some chance it was just going to be incomplete. In my mind, you throw that out of the back of the end zone and just say, forget it, let's try it again on fourth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the comment was, and you're going to laugh when you hear this, I think, that he is tired of all of the media apologizing for Ben Roethlisberger, and no one will recognize his failures because everybody is too busy sucking up to him and praising his talents. And I'm thinking to myself, what universe do you live in, my friend? Because if there's a guy that plays above what his reputation is and gets beat up more than he does get praised, it's Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go into some of the his season stats with everything and how of course, we're not going to put Ben Roethlisberger in the category of Tom Brady. I don't even think the biggest of Pittsburgh, at least realistic Pittsburgh fans, are going to put him next to Tom Brady. But Joe's just put out an article about Ben being in the top tier of quarterbacks. But if you look at this season alone, besides Drew Brees having an MVP-like season, Drew Brees also doesn't have the most passing yards this year. Ben is, 20 or 19 or something yards behind the passing leader for this year in terms of passing yards. He is on, he's on a roll for his passing statistics through 11 games. He has already passed for, and this kind of goes into more him being old and kind of starting being washed up and everything with everything, but through 11 games, he has already passed for, in his own career, he's passed for more yards than he did in 2012, 2010, 2008, 2007, 2006, 2005, and 2004. Already, through 11 games, and he still has five more games. He's on pace for 5,300 yards, which is 400 more yards than his best season was in 2014, excuse me. He tied his long for passing touchdowns with 97 yards as a long for a passing touchdown. He's on his way to having the most total touchdowns in a season, which would he's on pace for about 35 passing touchdowns, which is more than 32 where he had in 2007 and 2014. He's run the ball into the end zone a lot more than normal. He's tied for 2005. He ran it into the end zone three times, and he's already tied that. I could honestly keep going on. It might get a little boring, but he's already had so many statistics about being washed up, being old, and everything that just look at the statistics. That's just proving all of those yinzers and all of the media incorrect for how he's doing. If you take away some of his interceptions, which he's also had a lot more interceptions in other years.
Yeah. I mean, that's the stat that I wanted to bring up is the interception percentage. You know, for his career, Ben's interception percentage is 2.7. So, you know, that's how often 2.7% of the time he's going to throw a pick. Well, guess what happens when you throw more passes? You're going to have a better chance of throwing more picks. And while they have come at inopportune times, for certain, Ben is actually throwing less interceptions right now than his career average because he's only at 2.5%. He was 2.5 last year, 2.6 the year before. His best season, I think that everybody can agree overall, was 2014. And that was also his best season for interception percentage. It was 1.5%. But even that year, he threw 9. So he's thrown 12, you know, and that's a lot. It feels like a lot. It's a little more than one a game. I think the bigger issue is that a lot of these things get washed away when you are getting turnovers. And as well as the defense has been playing, one of the things that they aren't doing is taking the ball away. As a result, the Steelers are, -7 or minus – it's probably even worse than that. In turnover ratio. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it's not a great position for them to be in. And a lot of those mistakes that Ben might make or the fumbles by Connor or whoever, those get negated when you can get the ball back and even that stuff out. And that has happened in the past. And it's not happening as much this season. And I think that makes these more glaring. But I think to your point about the statistics proving that he's not just an old washed up dude, they're pretty straightforward. At his age right now, 30, whatever, in his 15th season, Ben's having what could end up being the best season of his career. The best season of any Steelers quarterback in history's career. You're not talking about a washed up guy. You're not talking about a guy who's too old or who can't play anymore. You're talking about a guy who's really playing probably at, if not his very best, close to it, and is taking advantage of what's being put in front of him. He's going to throw some picks. He's always been that kind of guy. He's a gunslinger to a certain extent. He forces the ball at times, and he's going to throw some picks. At the same time, he's going to make throws like the 97-yard touchdown to Juju Smith-Schuster where he gets walloped right as he's letting the ball go, and it's a perfect throw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got good and bad that you're going to get with Ben, and the good almost always well outweighs the bad.
Yep. And you mentioned more to go off with some of your interception kind of thing. 2010, he only had 5 interceptions, but he didn't attempt that many passes like you were talking about. He only attempted 389. Then you go back to this is almost an alarming statistic for him in 2006. He attempted the ball 469 times, which when we're recording the podcast so far, he's attempted 472 passes. So almost identical attempts. In 2006, he threw 23 interceptions in those amount of attempts, whereas now he's thrown 12 interceptions. And I don't think you and I are putting past that, that we're excusing or writing off any of these interceptions, but it's kind of just that's the one statistic that people are, even ESPN, as they have this on the front page about Ben Roethlisberger throwing statistics, how he's tied for the second most interceptions this season. We're not writing that off. I think we're just kind of taking some of the blame away from him. It's kind of like the Jacksonville game from last year. Not all of those picks were him's, and the scenario is much different, like you said, with the interception percentage and everything. But I'm also going to go back to what you talked about with getting the ball back. And I went to Indiana University, and of course it's very hard to be a football fan at that school. It's much easier to be a basketball fan. And this year it was, and you can make fun of me all you want, that's okay. We do not have a good football team at all, but we were their defense was getting a ton of turnovers to the point where we were in the top 10 of the entire league. We led the league for a few weeks in fumbles total, the entire NCAA. And they were still giving up 40, 50, 60 points to a lot of teams. And no one was blaming the defense for a lot of their mistakes because they were getting a lot of turnovers. And I think you made a great point there that we're just throwing the ball away and fumbling the ball more than we're getting it back. So it's kind of like, oh man, because we're losing those possessions during the game. So it's less times that we have to score, and that's even less amount of times to score than Ben's already have. Where, like I said, he is on pace to throwing the most passing touchdowns that he's had in the entire season. He's already tied his rushing touchdown, so he's on pace for total more touchdowns, and it'd be even farther along if we didn't fumble the ball a couple times this past week against the Broncos.
Yeah, I think it ends up being just a silly conversation to say that he is losing it. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's being the same guy he's been, except maybe even a little better. You know, as we said, interceptions are not coming at a rate that's any higher. In fact, they may be lower than they have in throughout the rest of his career. But he's going to throw some picks. It just is the way it is. He's not a Tom Brady type passer. He's not, you know, always going to only find open targets. He's going to try and push the ball into places that he probably shouldn't. And when he gets it there, because he will sometimes, everybody's going to praise him. And when it doesn't go, somebody makes an athletic play, somebody picks a ball off, you know, it's going to happen. I think this is the kind of season that, you know, despite that game in Jacksonville and despite the game against the Broncos and those unfortunate picks that he threw, when it's all said and done, could be a legendary season. You know, every time I say the word legendary, I think of How I Met Your Mother, and I want to just go, wait for it, legendary. But I can't. I can't wait for it because I'm too excited to talk about the Legends of Pittsburgh cruise. As we said, you know, this is a Caribbean cruise. It's going to leave March 4th of 2019. You need to go over to the website, check it out as one of our partner spots, and book a cabin because this is a unique opportunity for you to hang out. And not just, you know, meet, but literally hang out with a variety of Steelers legends and current players, guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Rocky Blyer, Willie Parkle, Andy Russell, Antoine Randle-L, Donnie Schells, Santonio Holmes, and even more. These are guys that you're just going to, you know, you could be playing shuffleboard with them, you know, doing the cruise wear, and just basically enjoying some time with these legendary folks. You can check them out by going to our website, steelcityunderground.com/legendscruise. Use the SEU19 code when you book your room. And if it all works out, maybe we'll do a live podcast from the cruise. Who knows? But, you know, go ahead and book it now and make your vacation next year legendary. I don't know what else to really... Is there another point that we should be taking from this? I mean, is there another angle? Is there any reason to worry about Ben Roethlisberger?
I don't think so, especially because, of course, we just reiterated all those statistics. And I think a big point that some people should take a step back and think of, that the Steelers really did have one of their roughest starts to a season, at least in the past few years. And going into this game, we were 8-2-1 or 8-1-1, 8-2-0 or something like that. That we had a better win percentage. We had one less loss or something like that than the beginning of the season where we started 1-2-1. If you think about it that way, where we didn't have such a bad start to the season, this game doesn't feel like, I guess, after the end and losing the game, I guess it doesn't feel like it's as much of a win. If we had only lost one or two games, I don't think everyone coming out of this game, everyone would have been frustrated, because of course you want to win every single game, but I don't think everyone would be all up in arms at Ben or Tomlin or whoever for this kind of season, because they're still 7-3-1. No, it's not the best season that they've put together in the past, but it's definitely not the worst season. They're still first in the AFC North. Yes, they have a gauntlet going into the rest of the season to try and close out the season. But when you look at it again, their division is definitely not the kind of division that it has been. They still are able to win out the division. And like you and Joe talked about on the post-game show, they hold their destiny. All you have to do is get into the dance to do it, because as we saw, the Steelers in 05 and 06, they had their when they came in, the first team to come in as a sixth seed and then win the Super Bowl. Yeah. So all you have to do is get into the dance to keep going, regardless of if they lose like three or four more games and still get into the playoffs. They still have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think it is a viable point to say that they have a road that's not as easy as we'd like, but still doable. And it's more unlikely that somebody like the Ravens, the Bengals, or, you know, even the Browns are going to overtake them and take over the division lead. I mean, they'd really have to collapse. And I don't think this is a team on the verge of collapse. You know, they play, you know, when they play all together at their highest point, I don't think there's a team that can beat them. You know, that we saw that in that Panthers game. When they don't play at their best, they still can win most of the games they're in. Mm-hmm. We saw that in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can be frustrating, and we all would much rather have games like the Panthers game where we're relaxed and don't have to feel like we need heart medication at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is not an easy schedule that they have, and it's going to be somewhat difficult to get through the next stretch. I think the only thing, knock on wood, that would really throw the nation for a total loop is if they lose in Oakland, God forbid. they cannot lose that game.
Oh yeah.
I can forgive anything at this point. They cannot lose that game.
Oh yeah. And I forgot one more big point, I think, that I forgot to make. If you listen to Trey's Corner, which I really hope you do, because he's got incredible insight. And when do you ever actually get to hear a real player that's in the league, basically, giving you insight on stuff like this? But he previewed this, and he basically called it out. When you go to a place like Mile High Stadium, the lack of oxygen, it makes you think differently. It makes you have more brain farts than normal, and that's kind of what this entire game was against Denver. So, again, we're both not excusing this kind of stuff, but when you think of all those, like, silly mental mistakes that don't necessarily happen all the time, like the last play where Ben Roethlisberger, he shouldn't have thrown it there, like mental mistakes like that, a lot of it could be contributing to it's the very end of the game. Ben is running more this season than he usually does.
Nice long run.
Exactly. After a long drive, maybe the little more out of breath, like Trey was saying, it really does make you think differently as someone who he's been on the field before and been in that kind of situation. Makes you think differently, makes you make mistakes that you don't necessarily do, and again, not excusing it, but that does have to factor into their performance, and at least how they went about their performance this past Sunday. And again, when they have their next five games, they don't have to play a mile high in the air.
Yeah, and I think we'll have to see how the San Diego game ends up turning out. And if you have, as Noah said, if you're not listening to Trey's Corner, please do. It's well worth the time. And I listen every week. I got the chance to be in Trey's Corner 1 week, and I will listen this week to see what his takes on the Chargers are going to be, because it's definitely interesting insight. And other than that, I think we've covered this topic fairly heavily. So let's lay off of Ben a little bit.
Yeah.
We can let the national media go back to beating him up, which they have done for years, guys. It's not nobody's being an apologist for Ben Roethlisberger, or at least not that I remember. And if you really do think somebody's being an apologist for Ben, please let us know, because we need to see that. We need to prove us wrong.
Exactly. Even Steelers beat writers.
Oh God, yeah. You know, hey, nobody is giving Ben, lip service and going, oh yeah, you're great. No worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're great. Yep. Nobody's doing that. So, Noah, I want to thank you. I think I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this in our midweek podcast, and maybe we'll do it again soon.
Oh yeah, sure. I love getting behind a microphone. It's nice to just talk Pittsburgh Steelers, especially even if it's just once a week or every couple of weeks or something. And it's nice to get on the air with you and Joe and everyone else.
Absolutely. All right. So that is going to wrap this edition of the Steel City Underground podcast up. Remember our sponsor, Legends of Pittsburgh's Cruise. And check out anything that's going on the website. Give us a subscription. Turn on the notification bell for us, and we thank you for listening. So in the meantime, my name is Brian. His name is Noah. It's chaos out there, so be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.